All right, so this incident is in 1734. It occurred in the American colonies, and this is what would be considered one of the starting instances of what came to be known generally as the First Great Awakening that occurred not only in the Americas but also in England. With the Methodist movement and other things. And so we want to study this. And we see, as it says, like many towns and cities in New England, Northampton, Massachusetts was settled by colonists with a deep commitment to the gospel. Each colony's founders were predominantly Christians, committed to the practical expression of their faith in a new world. And that was the basis for many of the colonies. It was to seek religious freedom, to establish a community, a colony that was founded upon Christian principles, and it was started by very godly men, by many of them. And we see initially church members were deeply committed to both Christ and His church, but their children and grandchildren tended not to share their parents' and grandparents' zeal for God. That lack of faith presented a social as well as a religious problem, and these communities to be cut off from church communion because one was unconverted meant being cut off from society as a whole. In an effort to deal with this dilemma, a novel approach to church membership was developed. Advocates of the New Way called it the Halfway Covenant. They argued it was better to have unconverted people in church where they would hear the gospel and be converted than to cut them off because they were unconverted. Men such as Solomon Stoddard, a widely respected preacher of the gospel, urged their fellow pastors to let morally upright people participate at the Lord's table even though they were unconverted. While some still opposed the idea, it was hard to convince the brethren to resist the plan once someone of Stoddard's stature endorsed it. When men such as Stoddard pastored churches, the Halfway Covenant seemed to work, but not all men in New England pulpits had preaching gifts and abilities equal to his. Many churches, unconverted church members, became increasingly influential and the spiritual emphasis of the ministry suffered. And out of respect for their pastor, Stoddard's congregation supported his emphasis on spiritual things. But when Stoddard's grandson, the young Jonathan Edwards, assumed the pulpit, he had difficulties. As a result, the spiritual drift that had been more noticeable elsewhere in New England now became apparent even in Northampton. And so we see the situation of that time, that the colonies had started off very well, but as the generations had progressed, people didn't really have a desire for the things of God. It was forgotten. And you think, how could it happen so quickly? But it really, we understand even from the scriptures that it takes is one or two generations, and it can get to the point where you have a generation that knows not the Lord. And we see that with the churches, what happened is they kind of compromised in order to have people keep coming, but what happened is that it actually started to leaven the church. It started to weaken it. And just the churches themselves started to kind of dwindle in their purity, and we see their power in the community around it had little effect. And so we see the remainder of the narrative is actually related by Jonathan Edwards, that he shares some of the history of what happened. And he says, just after my grandfather's death, it seemed to be a time of extraordinary dullness in religion. Licentiousness for some years greatly prevailed among the youth of the town. There were many of them much addicted to night walking and frequenting the tavern and lewd practices, wherein some by their example exceedingly corrupted others. It was their manner very frequently to get together in conventions of both sexes for mirth and jollity, which they called frolics. They would spend the greater part of the night in them without regard to any order in the families they belonged to, and indeed family government did much to fail in the town. At the latter end of the year, 1733, there appeared a very unusual flexibleness in yielding to advice in our young people. And so we see that this was something that he noticed that began to take place, and we really recognize it, that it wasn't necessarily something that he did or he worked up, but something that God is bringing to pass. It had been too long their matter to make the morning after Sabbath and after a public lecture to be especially the times of their mirth and company keeping, but a sermon was now preached on the Sabbath before the lecture to show the evil tendency of the practice and to persuade to reform it. And it was urged on heads of families that it should be a thing agreed upon among them to govern their families and keep their children at home at these times. And withal was more privately moved that they should meet together the next day in their several neighborhoods to know each other's mind. So it was accordingly done, and the motion complied with throughout the town. But parents found little or no occasion for the exercise of government in the case. The young people declared themselves convinced by what they had heard from the pulpit, and were willing of themselves to comply with the counsel that had been given. It was immediately, and I suppose almost universally, complied with. And there was a thorough reformation of these disorders thenceforward, which has continued ever since. Presently after this, there began to appear a remarkable religious concern in a little village belonging to the congregation called Passcommock, where a few families were settled about 3 miles distance from the main body of town. At this place, a number of persons seemed to be savingly wrought upon. In the April following, anno 1734, there happened a very sudden and awful death of a young man in the bloom of his youth, who, being violently seized with a pleurisy and taken immediately very delirious, died in about 2 days, which together with what was preached publicly on that occasion much affected many young people. And this was followed by another death of a young married woman who had been considerably exercised in mind about the salvation of her soul before she was ill, and was in great distress in the beginning of her illness, but seemed to have satisfying evidences of God's saving mercy to her before her death, so that she died very full of comfort, in a most earnest and moving manner, warning and counseling others. This seemed much to contribute to the solemnizing of the spirits of many young persons, and there began evidently to appear more of a religious concern on people's minds. And so we see that the Lord was causing this to happen, that these different young people, that they died, and it moved the other young people around to consider spiritual things. In the fall of the year, I proposed to the young people that they should agree among themselves to spend the evenings after lectures in social religion, and to that end divide themselves into several companies to meet in various parts of the town, which was accordingly done, and those meetings have since continued in the example imitated by elder people. This was followed by the death of an elderly person, which was attended by many unusual circumstances by which many were moved and affected. About this time, many who looked on themselves as in a Christless condition seemed to be awakened with fear that God was about to withdraw from the land, that we should be given up to heterodoxy and corrupt principles, and that opportunity for obtaining salvation would be passed. Many who were brought a little to doubt about the truth of the doctrines they had hitherto been taught seemed to have a kind of trembling fear with their doubts, lest they should be led in a bypass to their eternal undoing. And they seemed with much concern and engagedness of mind to inquire what was indeed the way in which they must come to be accepted with God. There were then some things said publicly on that occasion concerning justification by faith alone, although a great fault was found with meddling with the controversy in the pulpit by such a person at that time. Though it was ridiculed by many elsewhere, yet it proved a word spoken in season here, and was most evidently attended with a remarkable blessing of heaven to the souls of the people in this town. They received thence a general satisfaction with respect to the main thing in question, which they had been in trembling doubts and concern about, and their minds were engaged the more earnestly to seek that they might come to be accepted of God and saved in the way of the gospel, which had been made evident to them to be the true and only way. And then it was in the latter part of December that the Spirit of God began extraordinarily to set in and wonderfully to work amongst us. And there were very suddenly, one after another, 5 or 6 persons who were to all appearances saintly converted, and some of them wrought upon in a very remarkable manner. Particularly, I was surprised with the relation of a young woman who had been one of the greatest company keepers of the whole town. When she came to me, I had never heard that she had become in any wise serious, but by the conversation I then had with her, it appeared to me that what she gave an account of was a glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace, and that God had given her a new heart, truly broken and sanctified. I could not then doubt of it, and have seen much in my acquaintance with her since to confirm it. Though the work was glorious, yet it was filled with concern about the effect it might have upon others. I was ready to conclude, though too rashly, that some would be hardened by it in carelessness and looseness of life, and would take occasion from it to open their mouths in reproach of religion. But the event was the reverse to a wonderful degree. God made it, I suppose, the greatest occasion of awakening to others of anything that ever came to pass in the town. I have had abundant opportunity to know the effect it had by my private conversation with many. The news of it seemed to be almost like a flash of lightning upon the hearts of young people all over the town, and upon many others, those persons amongst us who used to be farthest from seriousness, that I most feared would make an ill improvement of it, seemed greatly to be awakened with it. Many went to talk with her concerning what she had met with, and what appeared in her seemed to be the satisfaction of all that did so. And so we see that it happened in the lives of different individuals, and especially with this young lady, that she was kind of a loose woman in some ways. She just wasn't a very moral girl at all, but yet the Lord worked in her heart. And he thought, well, what's going to happen of it? But God used it. And people saw the testimony that she got saved, and so then they were interested as well. And we see, presently upon this, a great and earnest concern about the great things of religion and the eternal world became universal in all parts of the town and among persons of all ages. The noise among the dry bones waxed louder and louder. All other talk about spiritual and eternal things was soon thrown by. All the conversation, all companies, and upon all occasions was upon these things only, unless so much as was necessary for the people carrying on their secular business. Other discourse than of the things of religion would scarcely be tolerated in any company. The minds of people were wonderfully taken off from the world. It was treated among us as a thing of very little consequence. They seemed to follow their worldly business more as a part of their duty than from any disposition they had to it. The temptation now seemed to lie on that hand and neglect worldly affairs too much, and to spend too much time in the immediate exercise of religion, which thing was exceedingly misrepresented by reports that were spread in distant parts of the land. So the people here had wholly thrown all worldly business and betook themselves entirely to reading and praying and such religious exercises. But though people did not ordinarily neglect their worldly business, yet there was the reverse of what commonly is. Religion was with all sorts the great concern, and the world was a thing only by the by. And that's something that we think of today, that how that it is a reversal of what we have today, that it's people talk about everything but religion, and to try to insert it in the conversation is a hard thing sometimes, something that's repudiated. And here it's the opposite, that all people want to talk about is religion, and if you're to bring up the weather or sports, people would look at you kind of funny. Well, that's not what we want to talk about. And so it's certainly something that we see that it's not usual that the Lord has been working. The only thing in their view was to get the kingdom of heaven, and everyone appeared pressing into it. The engagedness of their hearts in this great concern could not be hid. It appeared in their very countenances. It was then a dreadful thing amongst us to lie out of Christ in danger every day of dropping into hell. What persons' minds were intent upon was to escape for their lives and fly from the wrath to come. All would eagerly lay hold of opportunities for their souls, and were wont very often to meet together in private houses for religious purposes. And such meetings were appointed were wont greatly to be thronged. There was scarcely a single person in the town, either young or old, that was left unconcerned about the great things of the eternal world. Those that were wont to be the vainest and loosest, and those that had been most disposed to think and speak slightly of vital and experimental religion, were now generally subject to great awakenings. And the work of conversion was carried on in a most astonishing manner and increased more and more. Souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. From day to day, for many months together, might be seen evident instances of sinners brought out of darkness into marvelous light, and delivered out of an horrible pit and from the miry clay, and set upon a rock with a new song of praise to God in their mouths. And this work of God, as it was carried on, the number of true saints multiplied, soon made a glorious alteration in the town. So in the spring and summer following, in the year 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It was never so full of love, nor so full of joy, and yet so full of distress as it was then. There were remarkable tokens of God's presence in every house. It was a time of joy in families on the account of salvations being brought unto them. Parents rejoicing over their children as newborn, and husbands over their wives, and wives over their husbands. The goings of God were then seen in His sanctuary. God's day was a delight, and His tabernacles were amiable. Our public services were then beautiful. The congregation was alive in God's service, everyone earnestly intent on the public worship, every hearer eager to drink in the words of the minister as they came from his mouth. The assembly in general were from time to time in tears while the word was preached, some weeping with sorrow and distress, others with joy and love, others with piety and concern for the souls of their neighbors. Our public praises were then greatly enlivened. God was then served in our psalmody in some measure in the beauty of holiness. It had been observable that there had been scarce any part of divine worship wherein good men amongst us have had grace so drawn forth, and their hearts so lifted up in the ways of God as in singing His praises. The congregation excelled all that ever I knew in the external part of the duty before, but now they were evidently wont to sing with unusual elevation of heart and voice, which made the duty pleasant indeed. And so we see how there is an effect on the community as a whole, that things have changed. We see in the next paragraph how it speaks that even at weddings that it's different. They are just a time of mirth and fun and other things, but now they were focused on things of religion, on spiritual mirth. And those that were saved before were refreshed, they were renewed, and the Lord blessed. And we see, it says at the bottom paragraph there, when this work first appeared and was so extraordinarily carried among us in winter, others round about us seemed not to know what to make of it. And there are many that scoffed and ridiculed it, and some compared what we call conversion to certain distempers. It was very observable of many that occasionally came amongst us from abroad with disregardful hearts, that what they saw here cured them of such a temper of mind. Strangers were generally surprised to find things so much beyond what they had heard, and were wont to tell others that the state of the town could not be conceived of by those that had not seen it. The notice that was taken of it by the people that came to town on occasion of the court that sat here in the beginning of March was very observable. Those that came from the neighborhood to our public lectures were for the most part remarkably affected. Many that came to town on one occasion or the other had their consciences smitten or awakened and went home with wounded hearts and with those impressions that never wore off until they were hopefully a saving issue. Those that before had serious thoughts had their awakenings and convictions greatly increased. And there were many instances of persons that came from abroad on visits or on business that had not been long here before to all appearance they were savingly wrought upon and partook of that shower of divine blessing that God rained down here and went home rejoicing, until at length the same work began evidently to appear and prevail in several other towns in the country. And that's something that we see with this, that it wasn't something that it just stayed in one town or that it was there for just a few days and then it dissipated. But it had a long-lasting effect. And we see that it affected people of all sorts, sober and vicious, as it says, high and low, rich and poor, wise and unwise, to families of all income, of all appearance, and that young men, old men, and little children were affected. That's what you see in the second paragraph. This has also appeared to be a very extraordinary dispensation, that the Spirit of God has so much extended not only His awakening, but regenerating influences, both to elderly persons and also those that are very young. It has been a thing heretofore rarely to be heard of, that anyone were unconverted past middle age. But now we have the same ground to think that many such have in this time been changed, as that others have been so in more early years. I suppose there are upwards of 50 persons in this town above 40 years of age, and more than 20 of them above 50, and about 10 of them above 60, and 2 of them above 70 years of age. And so we see that it had an effect on all age groups, not simply on just one area. As heretofore been looked on as a strange thing when any have seemed to be savingly wrought upon and remarkably changed in their childhood. But now I suppose near 30 were to appearance so wrought upon between 10 and 14 years of age, and 2 between 9 and 10, and 1 of about 4 years of age. Because I suppose this last to be most difficultly believed, I will hereafter give a particular account of it. The influence of God's Spirit have also been remarkable on children in some other places, particularly at Sunderland and South Hadley and the west part of Suffield. There are several families in this town that are hopefully pious. There are several numerous families in which I think we have reason to hope that all the children are truly godly, and most of them lately become so. And there are very few houses in the whole town into which salvation has not lately come in one or more instances. There are several Negroes that, from what was seen in them then and what is discernible in them since, appear to have been truly born again in the late remarkable season. God has also seemed to have gone out of His usual way in the quickness of His work and the swift progress His Spirit has made in His operations on the hearts of many. And it is wonderful that persons should be so suddenly and yet so greatly changed. Many have been taken from a loose and careless way of living and seized with strong convictions of their guilt and misery. In a very little time, old things have passed away, and all things have become new with them. God's work has also appeared very extraordinary in the degrees of the influence of His Spirit, both in the degree of saving light and love and joy that many have experienced. It's also been very extraordinary in the extent of it, and in being so swiftly propagated from town to town. In former times of the pouring out of the Spirit of God in this town, though in some of them it was very remarkable, yet it reached no further than this town. The neighboring towns all around continued unmoved. The work of God's Spirit seemed to be at its greatest height in this town in the former part of the spring, in March and April, at which time God's work in the conversion of souls was carried on amongst us in so wonderful a manner that so far as I, by looking back, can judge from the particular acquaintance I have had with the souls in this work, it appears to me profitable but at the rate at least of 4 persons in a day, or near 30 in a week, take one with another for 5 or 6 weeks together. When God in so remarkable a manner took the work into His own hands, there was much done in a day or two as at ordinary times with all endeavors that men can use and with such a blessing as we commonly have is done in a year. And we see with this that Jonathan Edwards, even though he was in the midst of this, God was using his preaching both now and we see later on through this time of the Great Awakening, that he testifies that that God took the work into His own hands, that he was used of God, but God was the one doing it, that it was something that, as we understand the history, that he struggled for a while, but then suddenly things changed. And we see Edwards thought that sharing what God was doing in Northampton would encourage others who longed to see revival in their community. He published a call to prayer, encouraging Christians to unite in intercession for revival. He also published other works in revival that described to some degree what God had done in the community. And the surprising work of God in Northampton, as Edwards called it, soon spread to other communities throughout New England. The movement became known as the Great Awakening. Edwards was widely recognized as a respected leader in that movement for his books and preaching called Countless People Back to God. And so we see in many ways this is but the first chapter of many in what we know as the Great Awakening, and we'll continue to see that as the Lord blessed the work of George Whitefield and the Wesley brothers and others in America and in England. We'll see how it all comes together. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for this part of history, Lord, that we can learn from. We are so thankful for the work that You did in the past, Lord, and we just pray that You would be merciful to us in the present, that we would see Your hand working, Lord, that we could tell, that everyone would see that it is Your work, Lord, not ours, and that it would have a long-lasting effect. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.